This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by Home, Melbourne's first of its kind postpartum hotel where mothers are mothered. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, a show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz, and we're starting things with a good news story. It should be obvious to most of us by now that we don't become worse at our jobs because we get pregnant, give birth and become a parent. In fact, studies show that we actually become better. You can imagine my... I want to say delight as I read this stat this week. So it says we send management teams on courses and teach them about empathy, emotional intelligence, personal development and time management. But we get so much of this for free when we become parents during leave. A Danish author by the name of Natalia wrote a book called Parental Leave and the Bottom Line and found that from the 300 individual parental leave experiences in her book, 67 responded that parental leave had strengthened their personal competencies. The top five competencies that were highlighted were efficiency, patience. Well, I'm still learning that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like if anything had gotten worse there. Everything else I agree with though. Do you agree with self-control?
Oh, yeah. You have to. Self-control. Yeah. Mate, if I could, like, you know, I'd smash it down with an ice cream. But I don't have the time. I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm only not hungover because I can't get hungover because I don't have time. Not because I'm holier than thou.
It's because you think the next day, like, is it really worth it?
Yeah, that's true, actually. I have way better self-control now. Sorry, get to flexibility, Lozzie.
Yeah, and the ability to adjust to changes. So all of the things we see time and time again are essential to succeed in workplaces. So, I mean, that's just a little nicety, isn't it? That being a working parent is, it's really where it's at. It really does make you more effective in the workplace, which is what we want to hear. We want to hear these good stats. We need them. Everyone's hanging on to them.
I'm hanging on by thread to these stats. We should actually get paid for this career development because it is free. It's unpaid work.
It is free.
And I'm a better person for it, I think.
Correct. And a little funny for you too. I mean, here's a little PSA. If you haven't already, and I hope you have because most people are quite organized, now is the time to book in your Santa photo. So I had this frantic call from a girlfriend of mine the other day. She was like, oh, Loz, have you booked in your Santa photos? This is... Like, we're recording this in October, like, it's before release, a week before we release it. So this is like a couple of weeks ago, right? Early October. I'm like, Daz, it's early October.
Got some time.
Have they even come out yet? She's like, oh, are you not on the VIP list? I'm like, I didn't realize there was a VIP list for Santa photos. And she's like,
oh. Like the naughty or nice
so
list.
So stressful. She was like, oh, me and a group of girlfriends, like, we were trying to log on. Like, we logged on immediately as we got the email and half of the slots had booked out. She's like, it was honestly like harder than getting Taylor Swift tickets.
Jeez, it's like 161. It used to be stressful to line up at 161 and now it's lining up for Santa photos.
Exactly. So if you haven't already, like, sounds like by the time this comes to air, there might be no Chadston availability left.
Oh, dear. I've never taken a Santa photo. Is this my first year?
Oh, see, we do it every year. I like it, but I don't go to chatty. I can't do it. There's too many people. And you know what else she was saying? She's like, they're fully booked out. I mean, not fully yet, but a lot of the days are booked out. Like, it's
easier to get a table at Gimlet.
Yeah, it would be popular. But I'm like, oh, what are the slot times? She's like, 5 minutes. I'm like, how can that many slots book out within minutes of it going live?
How are people regulating their children with this strange man with a beard in 5 minutes? I feel like Ray would be like, no way, no way, no way.
Yeah, but this is the funny part of the photo, right? Like, if your child's hysterical, you're like, oh, core memory unlocked. Beautiful.
Yeah. You remember that day when Ray absolutely lost it. Yeah. It would be nothing without a bit of drama, actually.
Exactly.
Shit. Do I have to become a Santa parent this year? Maybe I do.
You don't have to, but
yeah, but will I look back and feel like an arsehole? Because I like looking back at those photos of me.
Well, there's only so many years where they really, you know, they believe. And then after that, it's real forced.
I think I have to do it. Yeah, I think I might have to do it. Thanks for bringing that up. And just so everyone knows at home, like, if you haven't booked, please don't worry. We've got some time.
They're probably booked out. Don't worry. You might have to get a DIY within your group. Someone has to just, you know, pave the way in the Santa suit.
Pave the way. Hopefully some of the dads are booking, but I have a feeling it's the mums, let's be honest.
gorgeous.
I have a few before we get into what we're chatting about today. So I was really stressed before a meeting last week, and I went to our work and moms or moms working at group that you can actually join by going to the highlights at our Instagram, readyornot.pod. I was feeling really anxious about a big meeting that might lead to some news here, might not. We'll see. Stay tuned. Anyway, I was just a bit frazzled, frantic that morning, and I told everyone in the group, and I just loved the little nuggets of gold that people shared, so I wanted to share them quickly. Someone said to do man poses, and that just made me really laugh, so do some powerful man poses. One person said, they are your peers, you're worthy. I thought that was a great reminder. If someone's asking you into a meeting to be in the room with them, there's a reason for it. Great reminder. Someone said, eat something, which I'd had a coffee on an empty stomach, knew it was a bad choice.
No bueno.
Anyway, idiot. So I ate something, bit of protein, bit of an egg on toast. All I can talk about is protein at the moment.
One I know you psycho. Aussie. I hear you. I'm like, yeah. I had a banana for breakfast and I'm in. I ate about potassium, a thousand salami after that.
Yeah, a bit of potassium. Another person said, put on a dance track and have a boogie in the kitchen. If anyone's listened to this show for a bit, they'll know I love a dance party with Ray.
Lucy definitely did that.
Yeah, so that was brilliant. And that's all I've got. Actually, I thought I had one more, but I don't. They were just some really great little nuggets. So if anyone's walking into a stressful day of work, please take some of those tips on board. The next is the flower walk that really actually took off a bit on Instagram. People were tagging us in their flower walk. So my friends and I were talking about that shake-up post-bath. If you've been quite organized that day and everyone's sort of fed and bathed at 6, but maybe bedtime's not till 7, or they're just having one of those days where you're like, far out. This is going to take a while. We need to shake up. The weather's getting better. Days are getting longer. You can just walk literally to the end of your street and back, find some flowers. Mental reset I sometimes need. You know, nights where you're like, fuck, I can't read that book to you again, Dalsy. Get out in the pram instead. Go on a quick flower walk. People have been loving that. And I cannot take credit. My friends told me about that. And lastly, I don't think I've even told you this, but guess what?
You're doing a garden. I what?
Yeah, it's well, not I can that exciting.
See it. So I can see it. So I know what you're doing now. But I did find it unusual when I read it. I was like, what's going on here?
Hayden's finally going to take some time off work, whether he actually uses his set sort of long service leave that he has. He's the business owner. So he's like, it sort of doesn't mean anything to him. Or he just takes unpaid leave. He has a job finishing at the start of February. From mid-February to at least the end of March, we're going off in the caravan for 6 to 8
weeks. Oh, my God. I love
so
that.
Excited. My caravan family trip dreams are coming to life. I'll work on the road. He'll be stay-at-home caravan dad. I won't do too much work.
Where are you going?
We're going all the way up to Yamba and then all the way back down. So we've booked an Airbnb in Yamba. Otherwise, we're in the van. And we're taking our dogs. So we have to go on to dog-friendly sites only. And I am bloody so excited. It's my young family dreams coming to fruition.
I feel like you'll love it. You strike me as a real, you know, salt of the earth, caravanning family.
Thanks. You're giving me such great compliments.
Nah,
you are. Episode.
I don't know that I would cope with that. I think I would.
You go to a caravan park for like a month of the year.
Yeah, I know. But it's stationary. It's stationary. Yeah, and it's got like all my belongings in it and I can like
and it's got an annex, like it's
clean
like a double
everything.
Size.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's the
you are a big beach girl
moving.
Though. You're a very big beach girl.
Yeah, I know. It can't keep me away
surf
from the
over.
Sand.
She'd be able to surf over a pool any day of the week. Now, Loz, we could chat about all of that for hours, but what are we talking about today? There's a lot of talk about supporting mothers, but where is the action? Loz is taking us through a very interesting study to prove this point, and we'll explore it together. And then next up, how to bring home, that's H-O-M-B, into your own home, that's H-O-M-E. Lozzie, a listener wrote in saying she was really keen to understand how she could bring a few of the practices that I'd learned or experienced at home into her real life. And so I asked the team at home to share some of their tips. Plus, just a light and quick poll today. We've talked a lot about the dark side of sleep deprivation in recent episodes, but now we're having a bit of a laugh instead. So today we're sharing some of ours and your most ridiculous moments of forgetfulness and brain fog when we've been very sleep deprived and felt like things might have been lacking upstairs in our brains. Take it away, my friend.
The Motherload by Bodacious. It was written by a woman called Zoe, and it was such a good read. So this report zeroes in on mothers and motherhood in the ad industry.
Can I just quickly pull you up there with a question? We don't mean people that work in the ad industry. We mean the portrayal, don't we?
I mean the advertising industry.
Yeah. But it's not mums that work in it, or it is? Or is it about the way mums are portrayed in the advertising industry?
No. It's about mums that work in the advertising industry. And the reason I found this so fascinating is I love studies that are like industry specific.
So do you? I've not learned
I love it.
About you.
I love it because I always find like new, like little golden nuggets. And I think as women, everyone has such different experiences. So like, for example, if you've always worked in like banks, you're like, oh, it's so, you know, they have such great policies. It's like, yeah, man, but like smaller businesses or like agencies, they don't have that. So it can be very difficult to comprehend what other people are going through.
Totally. Even in the way that questions come through to us, Lozzie, there's some things that I'm like, I can't answer that. That's all you. And there's other things that are probably more suited to me.
Exactly.
And it makes me realize how different our work lives are.
Yes. But advertising, typically as an industry, is very skewed towards young people. Let's be real. It is one of those jobs that for me personally, like coming out of uni, was like super attractive. Like they've got massive budgets. They throw massive parties. There's booze, there's like a beer fridge, they've got the ping pong tables, like it's really attractive. But like, I don't work in that industry at the moment. But when I reflect now at this point in my life, I'm like, oh my God, it sounds torturous. Like all of those things that I just mentioned, I'm like, I don't want to be doing that. So when I saw this report,
I do want a drinks trolley just for one drink on a Friday afternoon. I'd like the idea of someone just rolling around, just one little drink for me at 4 o'clock on a Friday. That's all I'm
interested in. Yeah, for sure. But I want to be done by 4:30.
It's a quick drink.
Yeah. So Zoe writes, this isn't just a personal essay. It is a manifesto, a scream from the rooftops that motherhood and the demands of a relentless, unforgiving industry aren't compatible. We've been left to either sacrifice our careers, our children, or our sanity with no middle ground in sight. The culture of advertising agencies is built around speed, endless deadlines, and a brutal emphasis on being always on.
I knew you were going to say always on then. That is just so well put.
It's totally true.
Because I'm probably not as far off advertising when I was working full time. And I mean, I worked in digital, not advertising, but it was the same thing. You always had to be able to answer people's questions because things were always moving so fast.
Yes. And I actually think this is the same for any industry that's experiencing high growth. Or if you're in a small business, you're always on, man, because there's like, instead of 20 people doing one job, there's usually one and everyone is coming to you. So advertising aside, I found this so relatable.
It's really relatable to the sports industry too, because there's games on weekends and in summer and over holidays. So it just never stops.
Exactly. So this pressure cooker environment isn't just incompatible with motherhood. It's openly hostile. Flexibility isn't seen as an opportunity for improved creativity. It's seen as a weakness. Presenteeism, showing up, staying late, making a show of commitment is still equated with success. A 2019 report commissioned by the 3% Conference called Parenting in Adland found that 9 in 10 mothers, which is a bloody lot, that's most mums, agree that the advertising agency is a challenging place for parents and that nearly 80% have seriously considered quitting. So only 22.3% of women reported that their agencies were very transparent about how their role would be handled during their absence, like while on mat leave. And 16.7% were directly asked to cut their maternity leave short, which is huge. It's like 1 in 5 people asked to be going back early. Worse, 61.5% said that there was an unspoken expectation that taking the full leave would harm their career.
Wow, the message is just clear. I just said the same thing as you're reading out. Keep going.
Yeah, the message is clear. Take your leave, but prepare to be pushed out. The burden isn't just late night emails or frantic daycare pickups. It's the relentless strain of holding everything together with no margin for error. This whole article is so juicy. Like, it was actually pages and pages, and it had these like beautiful, like creative ads and like videos and things like, you know, nestled in between it. But the crux of it was saying, and this is what fascinates me so much, when you've got large advertising agencies like Clemenger, right, who have maternity policies, well, I hope they do. I mean, I haven't even checked. Maybe they don't. They bloody want to. They have like $1 million budgets. You would think to yourself that surely, like being a creative industry, there would be such an emphasis on keeping good women.
I can tell you actually what their policy is. Claire Midger Group has consolidated its parental leave policy across its group of advertising agencies, offering a maximum entitlement of 20 weeks for primary caregivers in an effort to retain talent and attract those aspiring to a career in advertising. So there you go. They said that, yeah, we'll give you 5 months, but will they really?
Well, it's not about them really giving it. I'm sure that they will.
Yeah.
But the problem that so many mums are saying is like, okay, great. Like they've got this big offer and everyone's like, oh, what a great place to work.
Yeah.
But then the actual return to work is an absolute fucking nightmare. Like the hours are out of control. There is no flexibility. There's no support for working mothers re-entering the workforce.
And with so many of them saying that they were being asked back early or that there was no sort of clear parental leave pathway, it goes to show that yes, they offer it, but they're not really expecting you to take it, or they're not filling your roles properly either. They're just being like, oh yeah, we'll just put that on the back burner, save a bit of cash and hopefully she'll come back earlier, or hopefully this or hopefully that.
Yeah, but it's like when they do come back to work, they're met with like their life, like as a mum, your life changes. Like
yes.
There are things that pop up. Your kids notoriously get sick in the first like 2 years of daycare. Like no one can avoid it. And if you're expected to like work in the office from 8 until 7 o'clock at night, like how is it conducive to working as a parent?
How can you do that? Like literally, how can you do that and survive?
So this is what Zoe said. This is the most fascinating part because I've actually been in this situation myself, as have you. And I'm like, oh, this rung so true to me. So what happens next? Many mothers turn to freelancing. On the surface, it looks like a solution, more flexibility and more control, which I completely agree with. But dig a little deeper and you'll see it's a forced fallback that they've been pushed into by an industry that refuses to accommodate their needs. So while it may provide a break from the office grind, it often comes at the steep cost of career stagnation, financial instability, which both of us have experienced, and an ever-present sense of invisibility.
Amen to all of that. I did not return to Cricket Australia Amen. Because even if they could have supported me as much as they want, I saw the hours that I worked before, and yes, I could have like chopped some of those hours, but the nature of that organization of working in sports media is that you are always on. I would get back on the laptop after most dinners, just when it was Hayes and I, and answer emails. And if I didn't, yeah, sure, boundaries, could have set some, would have made for an incredibly stressful next day at work. And the nature of working in digital media and producing content for social media was that there were always things coming through late and always changes coming through. And I worked with that agencies too, because part of my role was branded content. So making content for our partners. And if they respond to you at 6 o'clock at night, it doesn't matter if your company's culture is laptops down, don't answer until the morning. That's a client. You can't just say no.
Exactly right. So what do we do about this situation? I mean, this wasn't all, you know, dire, grim news, but the way that she articulated it just made so much sense. Because I think what happens sometimes is like there are so many companies that have great policies. Like don't get me wrong, they're great. To be able to access that much maternity leave is excellent. To the ones that don't, you need to lift. But for the ones that do, the problem isn't the maternity leave. It's actually returning to work.
Yeah.
Like if you're not supporting
the talk, right? Like all these policies are great, but unless the managers are actively supporting what's written down on those papers, on those contracts, it sort of means shit all, because you can have all this, but if the team aren't emotionally supporting you and logistically supporting you, it actually means nothing.
Exactly. So one of the things that she was saying, she's like, there's two things that I think particularly like advertising agencies with large budgets probably need to be doing. Number one, they need to make their male counterparts take the full amount of leave. So many people are not taking that leave. So even those 5 months entitlement, people don't take it, which honestly blows my mind. So it literally helps close the gap, the wage gap I'm referring to. A study from Sweden found that for each additional month a father took parental leave, the mother's income increased by nearly 7% in the 4 years following childbirth.
Wow.
What a great start.
As opposed to probably staying stagnant.
Exactly right. And then childcare support programs, which we've spoken about before. If employers could provide on-site childcare, or maybe childcare stipends or partnerships with local childcare centres to ease the burden of working parents. For every $1 spent, a study said, on childcare benefits, employers should see a net gain of between 90 cents and $4.25 through reduced absenteeism, less lateness, and lower rates of attrition.
I still can't believe the way no one is correlating these things. It's like investing in mums in early postpartum so that rates of postnatal depression go down and our systems are less bogged down in the costs and care that come with this. Like, why don't we look more at prevention than intervention in all of these industries and all of these sectors?
Exactly right. And why aren't we supporting women in that first couple of years of when they do return to work? Yeah. Like, the mat leave is great. The payment is excellent when you're on it, but like, it's so fleeting because you've got the next like 6 years in the workplace. Yeah. And if you're expected to be the same as you were prior to having kids, you're either going to burn out, you're going to leave your workplace, or like, I just don't understand how they're expecting women to do it all. You just can't.
It's amazing as well. Not with those hours. People that have gone on leave feeling very valued and like, we're going to support you and you're incredible and we want you.
It's a trend.
And then they come back.
This is the sticker.
And then it's like, oh, wow, you don't actually care about me or support me at all. That was all just talk.
My hat goes off to Zoe for this report. We should link it in the show notes. It's so good. It's called The Mother Load and it was elite. It was such a good read, regardless of whether you're in advertising or not. If you are, hopefully this makes your feelings feel far more validated. But if you're in a different industry that has a similar thing, that has like great perks, a great reputation, but then you found your actual return to work an interesting experience, this is well worth a read. I think you'll feel very heard.
And it might lead to some conversation starters with managers and workplaces.
Absolutely.
I've adopted a real do less policy in this week's Witching Hour episode. I really haven't had to do much to prepare. Everyone else has done the heavy lifting for me. And speaking of heavy lifting, it's good timing because we are moving house this week. Then I have a wedding on Saturday in Melbourne and then I'm flying away forever on Sunday because I have another wedding next weekend. So there's a bit on this week. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, you're a busy
gal. There's a bit on. So my brain hasn't put a hell of a lot of thought into this production schedule. My apologies. But a really great question came in to me from someone that thought how amazing home looked, but they lived in a different state. So they were wondering what the staff at home, HOMB, so that postpartum hotel that I recently stayed at and raved about 2 episodes back, or maybe even 3 episodes back now. I think it was 2. They asked me, how do we bring a sense of home into our own homes? So I emailed Rachel from home, who works in marketing there, to see if she could ask their team. We've heard from 5 members of the team, and I'm going to share their tips. So this is for anyone that needs a bit of nervous system calming or just some tips to, like, it might be 5 minutes in the day. Like, I'm not trying to be all woo-woo on you. I know we're busy. I'm busy too. I'm straight back into the thick of it. Like, I'm not some angel that's gotten home and is just like the most present mum.
Floaty on cloud 9.
Yeah. Like, this doesn't look like just some perfect rhythm now over here. And even Larissa from home says that too. Like, they know that you're landing back in your homes when you leave their home. But it's just how we can steal little moments to feel a little bit better. So Vaughn Geary, who's from the Life After Birth book and who's a doula, says, remember that your whole family will continue to thrive when you are nourished. Feeding yourself is just as important as feeding your baby around the clock. So set up some support around you to help with meal prep. Always keep your bedside and feeding spots stocked with easy to grab protein, there's that mention again, protein-rich snacks and a filled water bottle. It takes a lot of physical and mental energy to parent, and your body and your mind deserve the building blocks to not just simply function, but to recover and thrive. We always talk about eating the scraps of our kids' food. It wasn't until I went to home that I really noticed the difference of like actually eating well and what it fucking does for me. Just on that quickly, I had a naturopath consultation with Vaughn while I was there. I will touch on next week or the week after what she's given me for follow-up care and where to from here. But in terms of 3 sort of quick fixes or things that people might want to buy that she okayed or that she recommended, firstly, I take the 10th Co as my postpartum sort of supplement. And she was like, oh, that's great. People rave about that. I love what's in it. Keep doing that. Another one she mentioned is the Foraged for You Mother's Blend. People freaking go off about that. I can't believe the reviews online. So I bought that and I make a bit of a cocktail in the afternoon, a non-alcoholic cocktail, unfortunately, with like coconut water, a bit of juice, some ice cubes, a bit of fresh fruit and a bit of that, a bit of Forage for You. And she says that's got a lot of good things that we need in it. That's as far as my science goes. Don't ask me further questions. And then lastly, Metagenix Calm X. So this is a magnesium for stress sort of supplement that I'm having at nighttime. So I've ordered it. And that's for that active mind piece to try and calm down my nervous system at nighttime. For so many of us mums have that busy brain when we go to bed. It feels like the first bit of alone time we've had all day. And it can lead you to not fall asleep when you need to. And so many times I've done that. And then Posey wakes for the first time at 10 and you're like, cool. Luckily, she doesn't do that anymore. But for young babies, that can often happen. And then you haven't had that sleep that you need before they've even freaking woken up for the first time. So that's the third product that she genuinely, as a naturopath, believes in. Larissa, the founder of Home, said, hold on to the feeling that you had when you were at home, remembering you got there and know that it is possible. I really liked this piece of advice because it talked about like that I got there myself. Like as much as it happened with all of the support, I was able to get to that space where I felt more calm. And yes. I did that for myself with support, sure, but I can get there again. So that felt like a really good reminder that yes, life is busy, but you can take like 5 minutes to fucking meditate or have a breath or go for a walk outside and try and do your best to regulate yourself at home. Kelly, this magnificent midwife who's written a book called Midwife Crisis that I'm going to read, said, I try to remind myself to look after me, to take time out, to nourish and nurture myself as I do the guests that come stay at home. I remind myself to just sit and breathe, to enjoy the sun that streams into my living room each morning and take in the quiet. A big thing to try and freaking remind ourselves to do.
Yeah.
Do you do anything like that? Like what's your version of that? Is it going for a walk in fresh air? Is it just taking a moment before the kids start being crazy? What do you do?
I mean, I walk a lot, like a lot.
Yeah.
Like I would
That's your like letting steam go type thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And I think I don't like to walk in silence either, as in like, no. That for me is like a time where I call my girlfriends and like vent, or I ask them about how they're going or what's like news with them, or I listen to a podcast or I'll listen to an audio book or whatever it might be. But I have to have that walk for like your mental clarity.
Time, regardless of whether it's physically with another adult or having them in your ears.
Yes, I have to have that time by myself every
day. Brilliant. I need that too. I'm really finding that like just a little break away. Kate, who was an overnight baby settling angel, said, bringing a sense of home back to your everyday life after staying at home can be achieved by incorporating the nurturing routines and self-care practices you experienced there. For one mum, that might be running a bath once a week. It might be having a specific tea that you love. For me even, I've purchased these beautiful Romy scented oils that you burn, like diffused oil.
Oh,
and even
so
just
good.
Lighting that makes me feel that little bit better. So it is really those little things. And I know I'm going into woo-woo land here, but I think we forget how much these little tiny practices help us. So she says to focus on creating a calming space, prioritize connection with your loved ones. Again, a huge thing I felt from home, and embrace daily rituals. Again, sounds woo-woo, but I've noticed a difference just by doing them. A few little things that make me feel better. Find out what they are for you, write them down and set little reminders, whether it's morning with your lunch or to go to bed at night, have these little routines to help. Last one is Mariah, who I had such great chats with while I was sitting outside having lunch one day. It really just like made my day that day. So thanks, Mariah. She speaks about tuning in or dropping into your body and figuring out what you actually need. So Lozzie, for you, you need some adult connection. It's not necessarily silence.
Yes.
I think I'm a bit the same, but then I do think I also need, I think for me, the biggest thing is like fresh air and a nice scent that sort of resets the room and getting a bit of exercise in. So again, it's about finding out what makes your body feel good and sticking to that. So it doesn't have to be someone else's version. Like you're not really a lie down gal in that you like to rest, but it's like if you have an hour a day, that's not I'm going to lie down in a room. So a million people could say to Lozzie, lie down, darling, you deserve a rest. And you go, actually, fresh
that
air
doesn't
outside,
make me feel rested.
Going for a walk makes me feel better. So it's not listening to the noise outside. It's noticing what feels good in your body and creating a bit of a rhythm out of that. And that's it. They're the tips. So I've really taken them on board. I know I sound woo-woo. Do you have anything to add of what makes you feel better or like takes you back to your postpartum calm sort of vibe?
I don't think that makes you sound woo-woo in the slightest. I think there's a lot of a lot of chat about self-care at the moment. And there's this weird notion that self-care has to be expensive, or it has to be like a facial or like a luxe massage. It doesn't have to be that at all. It can literally be tuning out for 5 minutes, putting on like those cheap little eye masks, I don't know, spraying a mist over your face, air freshener lighting. It can be whatever you feel is going to just take your stress levels down a notch. Sometimes to me, honestly, that's just like when my kids are having a meltdown or like a mentee bee, I just put my headphones in and ignore them for like a minute. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, just reset.
I'm just going to like listen to something else.
Yeah.
Take a breath.
I think that's perfectly put.
Remove myself from the situation.
Yeah.
As a bit of self-care, and then go back and be like, okay, I can deal with this situation now.
And I reckon that's the beauty of home, because you do go, shit, like, you know, I don't have someone making my bed each day, or I don't have this and I don't have that. And you think, well, how on earth will I stay in this state when I'm back at home? But it's about those tiny little things, and it's a reminder of what makes you feel good.
Exactly.
So there's advice from the team at home to you.
I love
that.
And if
you want to check out home, you can go to homb.com.au. Don't forget that they do have a charity arm for supported stays. So if a stay is not in your reach, check that out. Or if you are really privileged and you've maybe suffered some really low moods during postpartum and you want to pay it back, you can donate to that charity too. Lozzie, we've had quite a few polls that are really deep and dark and really important, but I really loved it when I said to you, shit, what should the poll be this week? And you said, I reckon we need something light. And I got a few laughs out of this. So I asked our listeners and our community, what were some of the funniest or silliest moments they've had when they've been sleep deprived or a bit sort of cooked from motherhood? I'll give you a few stories first, and I'm going to ask for yours. I was at a coffee shop when Posey was probably about 2 or 3 months old. I was there with Posey, my dog, and Ray. My dog's name's Louis. And someone came up to Louis. Maybe Ray wasn't there actually, because someone came up to Louis and thought he was the most beautiful dog ever. And they asked for his name. And I was literally stopped for about 5 seconds. And in my head, I was going, is my dog or my son called Louis? And I could not remember. When I told mum group that story, one of the mums said she was on the phone to Centrelink, and they go to her, and what's your son's name? She paused, literally couldn't remember his name, and hung up on them because she was so embarrassed.
But she would have been waiting for like 3 hours for that call. Far out.
I know. And she would have been in the wait line, and now she had to do it all again. She probably wrote down his name on a piece of paper so she wouldn't forget. You had any of those moments? You don't strike me as someone that does silly things when you're tired.
I feel like I've had some like random moments. Like I remember a day I was going to the train station. It was cold and I had my coat on with a long sleeve top underneath, and I was planning on wearing a skirt with stockings. But I'd put my stockings on, and the act of putting my stockings on signaled to me that I'd put pants on. So when I got out of my car at the station and I walked down to the platform, I was like, it's fucking freezing. And I was like, I'm so cold. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't put my skirt on. Oh, that was funny.
Oh my God. So what did you do?
Nothing. I had to go back in the car and go home and put my skirt on.
Loz,
I was like, no one would have seen, obviously, because I had like a coat. Maybe they did if the wind blew. Who fucking knows?
Oh, that is so good.
But in my mind, I was like, no. Like, I've done that.
The juts is feeling a little bit cold. Gee, that feels quite nice. Bit of airing out.
That was very funny.
Oh, that's brilliant. I didn't expect such gold from you because you're smart.
I don't know. I mean, there's been some random ones. I don't know what else I've done. All sorts of random shit.
Don't worry, because I've got some really good ones here.
Yeah, tell me.
This one really gets me.
Balls
my boss dad more than once.
Oh, I know everything I did. You just reminded me. That's so
good. What else have you done? Tell me.
Oh, one day I went to go say, I'd newly returned to work. I was running a meeting and there was like an even split between guys and girls. And I went to go say, like, I wasn't sure if I was going to say morning ladies or morning guys. And I said morning gays.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. That is one way to start a work meeting.
I was like, oh my God, that's not, firstly, it's not PC. And secondly, I was like,
What has happened
what
to me?
Just came Why out did of I my say mouth? That?
Well, that is Ooh. Brilliant. I feel like bad. Juzzy would really appreciate that. I think that's a great way to start would. A meeting.
I was like, morning, gays.
It's like jolly. It's really happy. I love it. Gay means happy anyway. I think that's brilliant.
Far out.
Someone else who my friend and I can feel very seen by said, my husband legit forgot our two-week-old baby's name. He went completely blank. I'll tell you what else here. Because Ray's name is Ray and Posey, so it starts with R, and Posey's probably a bit more of a rare name, and my middle name is Rose. I think Hayden has called Posey Rosie 50 times since she's been born. I'm like, mate, fucking get her name right. It's getting a bit old now. Someone else said they put a load of washing on with a full 2-liter bottle of Omo in with the clothes. Lid on, thankfully. So they put the bottle in the drum. Oh, that is so good. After shopping, started pushing trolley out, left pram at register, realized after about 30 seconds. That would have been such a freak out moment. Hopefully the baby wasn't in the pram. On that, my friend had this day where she felt really together and she'd done the shopping with both kids and had them in the pram. And then she got home and her husband, I think, was like, wait, where's the pram? And she was like, oh, fuck, it's out the front of the shopping center. So just the same as this person. Accidentally taking my dog's anti-anxiety medication, thinking it was Nurofen. Hopefully she felt quite relaxed. Yeah. Although probably more likely felt really stressed. Left the house with my front door wide open. Next door neighbor called to let me know. I have done this on about five occasions. Luckily, I live in Rye and our entry is on the side, but fuck, I've done that so many
I've left the keys in the door so many times.
You and your cousin both. He always does that.
Yeah. You know, when you like get out of the car, you got your groceries and you're like, I'll open the door. And then you close the door behind you and you're like, oh, where's my keys?
No.
Like,
oh. And then you look for them for half an hour. A few more here. Same as most, opened door to Posty with my boob completely out. That is brilliant. Love that. Another one. Was back at work during 18-month sleep regression. Had a new Pilates patient who said, hi, I'm John, when I walked in. I then replied, hi, I'm John. Oh, wait, I'm not John. You're John. John was not impressed.
Hi,
and the
I'm
last
John.
One here, and I love that he's named John. It's so perfect.
Oh, no, it's great.
My mum friend and I were chatting about kids being constipated. I was like, what are dry plums called? And she was like, do they have a special name? And I responded, I think so, but couldn't for the life of me remember. Next day, I remembered we were talking about prunes.
Oh, wow.
Good. This is a great way to end the segment.
I know. This wasn't in postpartum, but I remember another really awkward situation. Was when there was this like ice cream, you know, like back in the day, they used to have those ice cream places. They used to give out like little free ice creams. But I was like so delirious or hungover or something. Like the person had the tray and then I somehow like held the tray. And then it was like this really confusing moment of like, why?
Taking
do I
the
have
whole
tray.
Oh, while we're on that, I have two really good stories that also have nothing to do with postpartum. My oldest brother worked at a cafe that we all sort of worked at over summers over the years, and family friends did too because it was a family friend's cafe. And he was the barista, and he asked our younger family friend, older than me, sorry, but younger than him, who was sort of just starting out. She would have been like 15, working at a cafe every Saturday type thing.
Yeah.
Asked her to bring some sauces, meaning what you put a coffee cup on, and she brought out a whole tray of little tomato sauces in ramekins. And then lastly, just on dumb moments, this old lady once called the family home one day on the old home phone, which feels like a foreign object now. And my brother's friend used to call and put on accents of mostly older ladies and be like, come on, Lucy, I want to speak to blah, blah. And so I thought that on this day, it was my brother's friend taking the piss. It was actually someone calling for my mum. And I'm going, Nick, you're an idiot. I'm going to get mad. I know that this isn't blah, blah. I know you're not calling for my mum. And eventually she just yelled down the phone, this is blah, blah, please put your mum on. And I was mortified because when mum picked up the phone, sure enough, it was this person. So we may have started in postpartum land.
It's so
and we've ended up as me as an 8-year-old.
I love it.
Being really rude to older women who probably
I'm
felt
all about it.
A little bit fuddy-duddy themselves. So
it's a laugh we all moment. Needed. A laugh we all needed. If you have loved today's episode, please leave us a positive review and follow us on readyornot.pod.
And by the way, we won't have an episode on Tuesday the whatever because that is
Melbourne
the
Cup.
Public holiday for Melburnians. So we'll see you back here in 2 weeks.